Little Emily biting her sister, or is teenage Barry refusing to help around the house? Consulting psychologist David Carey joins us to answer all your parenting woes.
But right now, I'd like to say David Carey, psychologist and dean at the College of Progressive Education, joins us to go through some of your questions for the parenting slot. And as always, if you have more, text or email your answers at afternoon@newstalk.ie. Dave, good to see you.
Hi, Tom. Glad to see you again.
You too. You survived your trip to the US last time I saw you were heading over there.
That was before the visa bans and all that, so I made it in and I made it out.
Yes, you weren't stopped for nefarious reasons.
No.
I have, as usual, unbelievable questions for you. I'm looking down through them, and in every single one of them, there's some aspect of them that I think is going to be relevant to me and my children and my wife, which I suppose is why people love this slot. Because parenting, it's a joy and a challenge every single day.
That's for sure.
Of those things.
And there's no rule book.
No.
Well, the kids make up the rules, but they change them often and don't give us the rule book.
I find myself at times just, you know, constantly scratching my head. What do I do now? What's the correct thing to do now? It never lets up. So
kick for a try.
Long may it continue. So right. So this one is a really, really interesting one to start off today. It says, is there something or anything I can do to thwart my son developing a fully fledged Cork accent, complete with sentences ending in like? He's 4.5 and in preschool. At the start, it was really funny and cute. Now it's becoming more frequent and I really don't like it. I think it might be from hanging around one particular boy who has a very strong accent. We are not from Cork and I'm always told that my accent is pretty neutral. My husband is English. I don't have a problem with him having a Cork accent. Just the one he is picking up is very strong. Is it something I have to accept?
A small smattering of superiority here, isn't there? Now, you know, I don't like the Cork accent, especially when every sentence ends in like. Send him to America. Just take, you know, there's a new budget airline coming in May. He'll come back with that mid-Atlantic accent, probably.
I don't think you even need to go to America to get the mid-Atlantic accent.
I don't know what you can do now. And I don't mean to be flippant about this. I can see that it is distressing to these parents. He's just 4.5. How exactly this has occurred, I haven't the slightest idea. I've never heard of this one before.
He's in a house with an English accent,
yeah,
which I would have thought is almost a dominant one.
We would think so.
A neutral accent.
Yeah.
And then a 4.5-year-old friend with a strong Cork accent, and he's picking that one up.
He could just be mimicking the friend's manner of speaking as opposed to genuinely picking up the accent. I don't know. You might sometimes say to him, honey, use your other voice. Mommy'd like to hear that for a minute and see if he can actually speak without the Cork accent. Because if he can, that means he hasn't truly internalized it and hasn't affected his speech register. Other than that, there isn't a lot you can do. We're not going to punish a 4.5-year-old for his manner of speaking. Perhaps we don't like the fact that every sentence ends in like. It is a bit off-putting sometimes. But he's 4.5. There isn't a heck of a lot you can do about this at this age. I think maybe talk to teacher. If you really believe genuinely that it's because he's associating with one particular child in the creche, maybe you can ask teacher to mix it up a little bit, see that mm-hmm. he spends time with others. But my guts are telling me it's best left alone, Tom.
For now, anyway.
Yeah, because he doesn't even know how he's speaking.
Right.
And we don't know what we sound like. For example, I'm aware of your rather neutral accent, but I'm not aware of my own unless I listen to myself on a playback or something, and then I can't stand my own accent.
I just wonder, is it important, though? Because, you know, when you grow up, your accent can play an important part in your life.
Ah, this has become a huge issue in America, particularly, and this is has been going on for a long time amidst huge controversy. African-American slang, as opposed to traditional American manner of speaking, is speaking in an African-American dialect or colloquialisms an obstacle to career advancement or academic achievement? I once heard a man from West Virginia, a very learned man with about 3 doctorates and whatnot, giving a presentation at an American Psychological Association conference. And he would just, now y'all know what I want to talk about is my research. It is very hard to reconcile intellectual endowment with that accent, but yet that was his accent. It was no obstacle to him. So I'm not necessarily going down the road and saying this is going to be a problem for this young fellow. However, the parents could easily turn it into a problem in terms of self-confidence, self-esteem, and maybe a little bit too much self-introspection on the part of the boy later on.
Okay.
I think you might want to leave it alone for the time
being. Leave it alone is the bottom line there. Next one for you is this. My little girl is 4, she's in preschool, and she's been telling us that she is sad. When I ask her what is making her sad, she says she doesn't know why. When I ask her what I can do, she always says, sit down and read me a story or play mammies and daddies with me. It's only been going on for about 3 weeks. My husband drops her to preschool and a few times she has started the I'm sad before she goes in and is clinging to his leg. The teacher sits her up on her knee for a cuddle and a little chat, and after a few minutes she's as right as rain. My husband thinks it's just attention seeking, as she sees one or two other children going to school every morning and clinging to their parents. They then get the special need time with the teacher as well. I think it's just looking for one-to-one attention, though. But I don't want to just dismiss something that may be an issue. It's heartbreaking to see your little one saying that she is sad.
I think your husband is right on track here. This is an attention-seeking thing. It's only been going on for 3 weeks. The answer is clear in the content of the question here. I'm sad. Talk to me. Read me a story. Put me on your knee. Spend time with me. That isn't the language of depression in young children. Now, age 3, a 3-year-old can become clinically depressed. We know that. But there are many other signs of depression that aren't emerging here at all. So in the absence of any other evidence, don't pay attention to it. Don't reinforce it constantly. Don't ask her why she's sad. It might be best just to shrug it off, particularly around going to school time. I'm sad. Okay, time for school. Have a nice day, honey.
Of course.
Play it low key.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything here.
Okay, good. One listener saying, would reading with the child help his accent?
Reading with the child. Well, the boy is 4.5. Reading to the child may be helpful. Asking him make up stories to his children's books, even if he can't read, and he no reason why he should be reading at age 4.5, have him make up stories to the pictures and see what it would be a test,
yes.
I think, along the lines of what I said. Ask him to use his other voice.
Yeah.
Let's find out if it's a genuinely accent acquisition or he's mimicking.
Okay. It's a phase, says one of the listeners. He probably just admires his friend from Cork. Not a big deal. It'll pass. And listen, they could move from Cork. He'll fit right in. I did think that too. Our 14-year-old daughter has stupefied us with her lying capabilities. She's the youngest of 4. The boundaries and the limits that we set for our other children worked out fine. However, she constantly challenges and argues against the limits put on her. We recently discovered she has a boyfriend and has been spending time alone in his house. Due to previous issues, I always drop and collect her from her friends' houses. However, unbeknownst to me, within these hours, she goes over to his house. She refuses to see the danger she's putting herself in. She's currently grounded, as we simply cannot trust her. Sustainable only in the immediate short term, I know. Please advise how we can establish trust with her again and move forward.
You can begin to establish trust with a 14-year-old again by speaking honestly with them and letting them know that because you love them so much, you're concerned. You obviously cannot countenance the notion or the fact that she's spending time alone in her boyfriend's house. That can lead to very unpleasant consequences. I would wonder exactly what the other parents are up to. You might want to get in touch with the boy's parents if you know that. You should know them anyway at that age, and let them know that you know they've been spending time alone, you don't approve of it, and it's not going to happen again. You have to have some consequences, so some short-term grounding, so long as she knows how long she's going to be grounded, is important. But I think it's time to sit down and reestablish, unless you never had one, reestablish a more genuine relationship with her. There's a reason she's lying and not being truthful to you. Okay, she's the one who's always been the difficult one. Every family is likely to have one of those. That can be traced back very often to infancy when you have a colicky, irregular, highly hypersensitive to stimulation infant. You know they have a difficult temperament, and you can predict rather reasonably that you may have some challenges lying ahead. So this could just be part of her personality makeup, making it really difficult to parent. Children like this sometimes get rejected by their parents. And that's very unfortunate. So you've got to really sit down, talk to her about your concerns, let her know you love her, ask her what's going on in her life. If she won't talk to you, maybe there's someone else in the family that she'll be willing to speak with, an auntie or an uncle or a nana or a granddad or something. But I think the answer here is communication, not strictly and only punishment and consequences. That yields resistance. Restricting her from seeing the boyfriend is not going to work. Forbidden fruit is the sweetest. But you cannot, obviously, consent to her visiting alone. Why not invite the boyfriend over to your home? Visiting takes place in the living room. You and your partner can sit in the kitchen to give them a little bit of privacy, but the doors are open. 14-year-olds will explore, of course. We all know that, and we have to provide reasonable supervision. Sit down and talk to your daughter, please.
Okay. Still a great reaction on the child with the Cork accent. Your child speaking in a Cork accent should be an aspiration for all parents wherever they live.
Is that written in by George Hook by any chance?
Yes, it is. Try a speech and drama class. Great fun and language too.
That is a good idea. Now, this young fellow is only 4 and a half, so we might go down that road. I think a gently approach is best, though.
Yeah. Picking up accents easily is a sign of a talent for hearing sounds, a finely tuned ear for hearing sound and mimicking. Give that 4-year-old a musical instrument.
That's a very good point, actually. And in fact, he may be a 4.5-year-old that could benefit from learning a foreign language. Of course, he's going to have to learn Irish eventually, but I mean a European language, because the earlier you learn and the better your ear is, the more likely you're to speak without the trace of an accent.
This child is getting great advice and loads of great options.
Yeah,
there's going to be a speech and drama class, a music class.
They're going to be busy.
Yes, they will.
Busy ferrying
they
him
will.
Around.
This is good. Other question for you now. Myself, my husband, and our 2 boys, aged 2 and almost 4, have been living abroad for the last 2 years. We're due to move back to Ireland this summer. Our question is about our eldest boy, who will turn 4 at the end of February. We wonder whether he should start school this September at 4.5 or wait for the following September at 5.5. He has not attended preschool or creche, but stays at home with his brother and our nanny. He's a sociable boy. There's lots of interaction with other kids in the neighbourhood. He's bright, very good language skills for a child his age. He's also quite a sensitive boy and has emotional outbursts frequently. If we start him in school this September, he'll be in a class with children who have up to 2 years' experience in preschool, and that emotionally we may do him a disservice. Would a year in preschool be a safer option to help him settle into school life in Ireland?
I personally and professionally see no reason why any 4.5-year-old should be enrolled in a junior infant class. It's far too young. The curriculum is not entirely developmentally appropriate. There is not enough opportunities for free play and exploration of the environment inside the school and outside the school. There is far too much pressure, often stemming from parents, to provide more homework and more opportunities for the direct teaching of literacy and handwriting than is relevant and appropriate to the child's developing brain. So my advice is wait till 5.5. He also, and I think the parents have made a very valid point here, this young fellow has no preschool experience. So he's very bright and talented. Academically, he'd probably be able for it, but socially and emotionally, I would wonder. Now, only the parents can tell, because if you bring him out to be around other youngsters and to play, for example, in a free setting such as the local playground or a play area in a McDonald's restaurant or something, it would be interesting to see how he interacts. Your best clue to finding out your child's social and emotional intelligence is to observe them in new situations, unfamiliar situations with other same-age children. So you might want to gather some data. But even if he is socially and emotionally well-developed for his young age, 4.5, I don't think he should be in a junior infant classroom. I really don't. Don't see any reason to put them in before age 5.
Yeah, I think also if you put them in at four and a half, they continue to be a year too early.
Yes. And that's when you run into this.
Next year.
And you run into the dynamic of parents saying we should have them repeat a year.
Yeah.
Now, the research based on grade retention is abysmal. It serves no useful purpose whatsoever. We know that for a fact.
To repeat a year.
To repeat a year, yeah.
Okay, so it's purely to get yourself emotionally up to the level of the kids with you.
The best thing to do for this boy, and I'm not sure he needs another year in preschool, or he has actually not another year, a year, because he hasn't been to any preschool, mightn't be a bad idea. Don't put him in junior infants.
Great love for the child with the Cork accent. on the Cork accent, is the child happy? Yes. Then who cares what accent he has? My son started to pick up a Welsh accent from watching his hero Farm and Sam. He got over it. I've always heard the ability to pick up accents quickly is a sign of high emotional intelligence. It's being a singer and it's high emotional intelligence.
Absolutely. And a facility for learning a foreign language.
My grandson and family moved from Wales at 4 years of age to Leeds in Yorkshire. And within 2 months, his accent changed from full Swansea to a full Yorkshire accent. He still has the Yorkshire accent, aged 15, a Yorkshire accent. Wow. Now, could you ask David about anxiety in teenagers? My daughter is 15, and this is impacting hugely on her life. I've taken her to two psychologists, but she did not connect with either and finished after 6 weeks with no improvement. Many say it is treatable, but how do I find someone to help? My GP has made no recommendations. I am so worried about her, as she can hardly leave the house.
Ooh, okay. She's been to two psychologists, 6 weeks of treatment. I would reckon that the treatment plan was probably similar from each of the two psychologists, because we do have reasonable protocols for treating anxiety in adolescence. It is possible, Tom, that some teenagers, and this may be one since she can barely leave the house, are so bound up with anxiety that they cannot respond to psychotherapeutic interventions. In those very few cases, we look to medical interventions, bringing her to a child psychiatrist. She may need a short-term course of antidepressant medication, which is the usual course of action, because we don't typically, although medical specialists differ, give anti-anxiety agents to teenagers. They can be helpful in the short term, too. I think the next step here, given the gravity of the situation and that this girl can barely leave the house, I'll take that exactly as it's been stated, that you might want to seek a psychiatric consult. You can, of course, go through the public system, but you may be waiting a long time. But there are, in the greater Dublin area, several psychiatrists, child and adolescent psychiatrists, that work privately.
Okay. Big reaction, too, on children starting a bit early in school. The big problems with kids that start too early happens in fifth and sixth class in junior school, and again, the last years in secondary. Big age gaps become very obvious in kids' behaviors then.
Yeah, that is true. However, once we accept them in and send them in at that age, we're kind of buying into what may develop into the future, and then we just have to try to support them through it as best we can. I think the best advice really is don't send them at that age. Now, problem. We live in a reality situation of socio and economic pressures, and maybe we must because there's no alternative. Mm. But that's the wrong reason to send children to school. Because Absolutely. You can't find child minding for them or cannot afford it. So pressures on parents, enormous. I don't think it's a good idea at that age to start formal schooling.
Okay. As a Montessori teacher, most of the children in our class will go into junior infants at 4.5. It's the average age. The question is not where he should go, but where he should get him into at this stage. Places fill up so quickly, and within a few weeks, options will be much reduced. Perhaps they should keep flexible depending on what placements are available, says Philippa. And do you not think the starting school at 4.5 means the child will be sitting the leaving cert at 18, and he later seems old? When my third started school at 4, there were two boys who were nearly 2 years older than the other children. There were consistent problems with them the whole way up to sixth.
Well, I think we can't really generalize about this, Tom. Sitting the leaving cert at age 18 is not necessarily a bad thing to do, because that means you're probably a little bit more socially and emotionally ready for the rigors of university education and the freedom that comes along with it.
And the rigors, may I say, of the leaving cert itself, which is very demanding.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a horse of a different color, as they say.
My son is 11 years old, is finding it very hard to manage tough situations. For example, in his football training, there is a boy pushing him around. When we were kids, we were told to go out and hit them back. Should we be advising this too?
No, I don't think we should be advising children to hit people, for heaven's sakes. That only results in more difficulties for the child who does the hitting. We should be talking to the child about what's going on. We should be talking to the coaches to see that this young fellow, in fact, isn't being unduly pushed around on the pitch. We need to help him develop some repertoire of coping skills. That doesn't necessarily mean squaring up to someone and hitting them in the nose. That means perhaps looking someone in the eye and saying, leave me alone, don't do that anymore, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And sometimes if you just assert yourself that way, the problem goes away, but not always. Generally speaking, try to solve the problem without fisticuffs. Violence only breeds more violence. Your son could hurt someone. It could have disastrous implications for him, your family, and his future.
I don't know when that went out of vogue, but it was definitely page one of the parenting book when my parents were raising
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hit them. That's how don't take it.
Hit them back.
Stand up to bullies.
Hit them
harder. Attack them first.
Yeah.
Get in.
The problem is, in this world today, there are some very unpredictably violent
yes.
people out there. And some of them are in primary school and in secondary school. You can get badly hurt.
Right. We don't want that. I have an almost five-year-old son who's been waking several times a night for the last year. He is not upset. He's not having nightmares. He's not ill. He's not scared. He's not cold. There's been no change in the family, school, or home surroundings. We've tried everything from changing bedtimes, mealtimes, quilt weights, pillows, various nightlights, location of the bed. We've tried to discuss this with him, but he can't articulate other than that he wants to be in our bed. We have gone down the road of mollycoddling him, ignoring him, fighting with him, and have spent months on end putting him back in his bed straight away. He just turns into another child when we put him back in his bed, obstinate and physically refusing to lie down and struggling, which is not his nature at all. We are out of ideas and extremely tired. It can be good. It can't be good for him either to be breaking his sleep so often. Help, please. Put about nine different A's in the word please, just to let you know that this is a call for help.
Please, I beg you.
Yes.
There is no short-term solution or instant fix for this problem. We've run into it numerous times. A question I would want to ask is, have you been permitting the five-year-old to sleep in your bed as a way to ease yourself through this horrific situation? Because not only is child sleep deprived, which isn't good for his learning or behavioral profile, but so are parents. And their threshold of tolerance lowers radically. And often what happens is one parent or the other are both screaming at the child at night, get to your room, I can't stand it anymore, we told you. And that's a horrible way to end your day. I wish some of our listeners may be able to write in and let us know or text in about what solutions they've found for this. I know of no short-term solution except toughing it out,
yeah.
gently escorting him back to his room. He won't lie down. He doesn't have to lie down. Let him sit up if he wants. But you may have to do this a dozen times a night for 3 weeks in a row before he gets the message. Not too much talk about it. Bringing back to room, kiss on the head.
Put him down.
Good night, honey, and leave. Turn your back. Don't look back.
Yep.
And he'll come back to you, of course, and you must do the same thing again. And he'll come back, and you must do the same thing again. And some of them throw colossal screaming fits, shouting the whole house down. It can be really,
the Exorcist
really distressing.
Comes to mind.
The what?
The Exorcist. The head spinning.
The head, yeah, and yes. vomiting up pea soup.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
We had small experience of that with
All right.
a child who just wouldn't go to bed, and we took exactly that advice. And I have found it was quite difficult for us.
Yeah.
to sit at the bottom step together.
Yeah, yeah.
and listen to her screaming and crying.
And how old?
She was about three.
Okay,
and then we would give her 3 minutes and go up and do the kiss in the head and try and settle.
Right.
And then next we would do 6 minutes and then 9 minutes.
Good. Perfect.
I think the longest we ever
went. Let's change seats. Obviously, you
minutes.
Should be sitting here.
Well, it's very hard to be a parent and not pick up some of these. It's like having a car. You find it where the engine is eventually.
I think your method really, it worked for you though, didn't it?
It did work.
How long did it take?
It took 2 or 3 nights.
Well, you okay? That's
yeah.
great.
It
Two
was
or three
great.
Nights, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Brilliant.
It really it worked.
But the method will work even if it takes 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So listen to Tom.
Alison and Tralee loves you.
Oh, I'm delighted.
I'm not a parent, sadly, but I love listening to the Parenting Slot with David. He speaks such sense and gives such great advice. My compliments to him.
Thank you. Thank you, Alison. I love you right back.
Listen in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. here on Moncrief for more parenting advice from David Carey.